He begins by sharing a quote of Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah. Okay? Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, he says, one day was given this drink, this cold drink from another person, this cold cup of water. And he took this cold glass of water and it immediately fell from his hands and he became unconscious. Like a very, very, like, very serious situation, right? Somebody would be like, wow, that's kind of dramatic, or like, why would that happen to you? Somebody just handed you water. Why would you pass out from just carrying water and the glass fell from his hands? And so when he regained consciousness, he came back to his senses, somebody asked him, somebody asked Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, they said to him, what happened to you? Okay, they said, what happened to you? Why did you react like that? Malaka ya Abi Sa'id, that was his name. And he said, subhanallah, qala dhakartu umniyata ahli an-nari hina yaquluna li ahli al-jannati. He said, it reminded me of something that the people of Jahannam will ask the people of Jannah. Subhanallah. So that moment where he was handed a cold drink and he passed out, he said that that moment reminded me of a situation in the Akhirah. It reminded me about something that will happen in the hereafter. And what was that specifically? Something that the people of Hellfire will ask the people of Jannah. And what's that question? It's actually in the Quran. So Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 50. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that the people of Jahannam, they will implore, they will beg the people of paradise, the people of Jannah, أَنْ أَفِيضُ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ. They would say, O people of Jannah, pour some water over us or some of the provisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Okay? It's a very intense statement. Okay? And the word particularly here, actually in Arabic, you won't see in the English translation, but in the Arabic it says, an afidu. An afidu means to not like allow us to drink the water, but to pour the water on top of us. They'll be begging, Ya Ahlul Jannah, O people of paradise, pour the water that Allah gave you over us so that we're not burning and boiling like this anymore. Okay? Or if you can't do that, then just give us some of the rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And subhanallah, the response that Allah will tell the people of Jannah to respond with is extremely scary. He will say to the people of Jannah, do not give them anything. Do not give them anything. In fact, tell them, Allah has made it haram upon you, this nice cold water that the people of Jannah are enjoying. You know, sometimes like it's scary because we look, you know, towards the idea of religion as a form of mercy. And alhamdulillah, exponentially, Islam is more merciful than it is punishing, without a doubt. And we know this. This is the narrative that we are teaching our communities because we want to hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, we're not oblivious to the realities of the punishment of the hereafter either. You know, it's subhanAllah, it's like, in sometimes in parenting, you know, I have a 2.5-year-old at home. Sometimes like I'll tell Aya, if you do that, you can get time out. But if Aya never receives that time out, what's going to happen? She's going to keep on pushing and pushing and pushing. I'm sure y'all remember like seeing this growing up. If you're like the oldest child or the middle child, you know exactly what this is. If you're the youngest child, you have no idea what this is. Right? You're the oldest child, the youngest child, you're like, you know you've seen this happen. You know, a parent tells you something, and they're like, I'm going to do it. Next time, I'm going to do it. But then they end up never doing it. And what happens with that is that the kid will never learn, really. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as merciful as He is, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor, right? At the same time, the reality of the hereafter is that there's truth to it. There's truth to the hereafter. There's truth to the punishment of the hereafter. There's truth to the adab of the hereafter, right? It wouldn't be something that is real if there was not a Jannah and a Jahannam, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the inhabitants of Jannah, when the people of Jahannam ask for, you know, relief, Allah will tell the people of Jannah, don't give it to them. Don't give it to them. Why? Because they had a chance. They had a chance in dunya to refuse all the indulgences, all of the things that I made haram for them. Allah says, I've given them chances to refuse all those moments. But they chose to, their transaction was, I'll take it now and I'll suffer later. I'll take it now, I'll suffer later. The people of Jannah will say, I might give some conveniences up now, but I'm going to enjoy for the rest of my existence. That's the mentality of the people of Jannah. Okay? Another really incredible thing to look at when it comes to this particular passage is, look at the taqwa of Hassan al-Basri, rahmahullah. Hassan al-Basri, he was handed a cup of water and he passed out thinking about an ayah in the Qur'an. Think about that. Sometimes like Qur'an verses hit us in our faces and we're like, yeah man, I wonder what's going to happen next in Rings of Power. Right? Like, you're thinking about the Amazon special that's out right now. You're thinking about like the next hangout with the friends. We're thinking about the next time we go grab, you know, food from Talkin' Tacos. Good halal spot, by the way, that just opened up. You know, we're thinking about all these different worldly dunyai distractions. Hassan al-Basri, he thinks about a moment in which cold water reminds him of the hereafter. Subhanallah. You know, like that reality, right? It's always like, it's said in like a joking way, but like, you know, whenever somebody complains about the heat, what's like that classic Muslim guy say? Hellfire is hotter, right? Everyone wants to beat that dude up, right? It's like, come on, dude. It's okay. I can believe in hellfire being hotter and Dallas also being a part of it, right? But sometimes that person says it. Hellfire is hotter. Hellfire is hotter. SubhanAllah, this is why, by the way, there was a really interesting narration. I remember reading this one time that Muhammad Ali, the famous boxer, rahimahullah, he passed away, right, years ago. Whenever he used to like get tempted towards doing something not permissible, whenever he would be tempted towards doing something that is displeasing to Allah, he would take a lighter out from his pocket and he would turn it on and then he would put his hand right over it. And he would say, and like obviously if anybody's ever kind of been near fire of the dunya, you can only get so close until it starts burning you. It becomes so painful, right? So he would put his hand above the lighter and he said, as soon as it would get unbearable, I would tell myself, if I can't handle this, I can't handle that. So whatever I'm about to do right now, it's definitely not within my interest. SubhanAllah, right? Sometimes it's important to give ourselves that reality check, right? Anytime you pass by like a grave or like a cemetery, stop for a second. Stop for a second. Look at it. Look at it. Sometimes we've almost like fictionalized these experiences, right? Oh, the cemetery, yeah, you know, it's not really a real thing for me. Fire, yeah, it's nice to cook with. It's not really a real thing. Use those mechanisms to also address the realities of your existence. The qabr will be your home one day. Fire is an outcome, right? These things are real. So it's important to kind of bring ourselves into those realization moments, all right? So now, alhamdulillah, we go to our next chapter, which is the 11th chapter of nasiha. The 11th chapter of advice from Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, to his son. And this one, the English translation mentions that it's labeled sleep. It's labeled the chapter of Naum, the chapter of sleep. And we'll talk a little bit about why. So he mentions here, he says, Ya ayyuhal walad. He says, لو كان العلم مجرد كافيا لك. He said, if mere knowledge of the self, by the way, علم المجرد is basically translated as like knowledge of like self, spirituality, right? Like knowing what to do and what not to do, things that are out for your best benefit and your best interest. He said that if mere knowledge of the self was kafiyan lak, kafiyan comes from the word kafa, which means to be sufficient, okay? If that was enough in and of itself, and you do not need any other amal, any other work other than this knowledge, then the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be meaningless to you. What is the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he gives us this beautiful hadith, okay? And I'll share the entire hadith with you guys just so that we have like a really good understanding of the whole picture, okay? The whole picture is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time he said, verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala slowly draws near until the first half of the night has passed. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the evening, and by the way, we're going to talk about this. This is why praying and really locking in your spirituality in the evening is so important. The evening is so important. Anybody ever been like traumatized by like elders about like not going out at night? Like, don't go out at night. The jinns are gonna get you, right? Like, there's all these like stories. And by the way, like, it's not completely false, okay? When you read Suratul Falaq, وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. It's an ayah from the Quran. You know what that means? وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. From the evil of the night when it emerges. What does that mean? It means that there are true evils in the evening time after the sun has set that are very, very real for people, right? I mean, the majority of the crimes in the world, if you want to even look at it in the more like, you know, translatable scene state, I mean, the majority of the crimes of humanity happens in the evening, right? No one ever prays Fajr, waits for the sun to rise and says, well, this is a great time to go to that club. Like, no, like, no one ever does that. No one ever makes a decision that is bad in the early morning after they do something pious, right? All the bad thoughts happen in the evening. And by the way, this is why I just want to kind of be very frank with you guys. It's so important to put boundaries and barriers of your social life in the evening. It's so important because people who are loosey-goosey with their morals and principles at night, it's a very slippery slope, y'all. I'm telling you. 9 p.m. becomes 10 p.m. 10 p.m. becomes 11 p.m. Like, that 10-minute phone call is now like tahajjud? Like, wait a second, what? How did we get... You look at your call log, it's 5 hours. You're like, how did it get to this? Well, it's because we didn't have barriers. We didn't have boundaries. We didn't understand that there's a moment, subhanAllah, where like shaitan hops on that phone call after 11 p.m. He's like, yo, we three-waying this thing? I'm like, what? Are we? You? Can I join in? Like, how's it going, right? Like, he just joins in, hops on in. This is where the believer has to tell themselves, man, I need to really address the realities of the evening. I need to address the realities of the evening. There are certain things that I just need to call quits after a certain time. I just need to call quits, man. It's time for me to kind of like be a little bit more, you know, intrusive. A little bit more, you know, to myself. A little bit more kind of, you know, introspective. And a little bit more in tune with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, subhanAllah, because the spectrum is so large. Imagine a person who could be doing the worst things in the evenings, but then they choose to spend some time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, what a beautiful transaction they've made. They've given up the temptation and they just spend 20, 30 minutes with Allah. I mean, there is a special place in the highest levels of Jannah for a person that does these things. And not only a person, a young person. I'll tell you that. You know, when you're older, man, like, you want to wind down at like 9 p.m. You're done. You're cooked, as they say, right? Like, Maghrib hits, right? And you're like, all right, it's been a nice day, guys. Time to wrap it up, get under my heated blanket and sip on this chai until I fall asleep eventually, right? When you're younger, what happens is like you have this kind of like, you have this temptation to kind of like spark that social life after 9 p.m. And you're like, I wonder what everyone else is doing right now. Okay, it's like 10 p.m., right? Do you think they're also on Clubhouse back in like 2020? Everyone's trying to like socialize. The smart person at that point knows when to put their phone down. Because they know nothing good on Instagram happens after 11. Nothing good on TikTok happens after midnight. You see these like shady brothers on TikTok Live for some reason, man. Always after 12 a.m. Always. This is so bizarre to me. Wallahi, it's so interesting. So the wise person knows, put that phone down at nighttime. Just decompress a little bit, okay? And so he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends through the evening. And specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer than ever in the last third of the night. The last third of the night. So it's so funny like that I mentioned all of this lead up, right? Like the first half of the night, the social butterflies are out, right? But in the last third of the night, the true people of Iman, they actually wake up from their sleep. And the shayateen, they're like, passed out, it's 4 a.m., right? They're like, man, that was a crazy 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. that I had, right? They fall asleep at 3:30 and they're knocked out until like 11 a.m. They're done. But the true believer, they go to sleep after Isha because they know, I gotta be up for Allah at like 4 a.m. I gotta be up for Allah at 4 a.m. And this is when the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah is closer than he ever will be. The last third of the night. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that last third of the night? It says here in the hadith that Allah calls out. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls out, munadiyan yunadi yaqulu hal min da'in yustajabu lahu. He says, is there anyone calling out to me that they may be answered by me? And then he says, is there anyone, hal min mustaghfirin yughfaru lahu? Is there anyone that's going to ask me for forgiveness that I can forgive them? Is there anyone who is going to call to me so that I can respond to them? Is there anyone that's going to make tawbah to me that I may be able to give them what they ask for? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in that last third of the evening. Look at what Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he says. He says that the Prophet ﷺ mentions this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will say, هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ هَلْ مِنْ تَائِبٍ. These three things. Is there anybody that's going to call on me? Is there anybody that's going to ask me for forgiveness? Is there anyone that's going to repent to me? And imagine at that moment, if the believer has no response. It's like that one time your parents feel generous, right? And they're like, you need anything? Just anything you want from me. You want something? And at that moment, if you're like not even in the room, and then that sale ends, you're gonna run to them and be like, please, 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 please. I actually have a lot of stuff I need. And at that moment, it's over though. You've missed the train, it's over. This only happens in the last third of the night. هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, is there anything that you want to ask me? Now think about at that moment, all of the things that you want to ask Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, can you give me some clarity in my life? I've been going through a lot of confusing situations. Allah, why did that thing that happened to me a few months ago, what was the wisdom behind it? هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ Is there anyone that wants to ask me for forgiveness? And at that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening up the doors of maghfirah for you. But imagine not being there to answer that call. هَلْ مِنْ تَائِبٍ Is there anyone that's going to repent to me so that I may give them what they seek from that repentance? And imagine that you missed that call. Allah is calling you, but you're missing that call. Okay? Now, I wanted to share a couple of things about the difference, by the way, between tawbah and istighfar. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he says, هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ هَلْ مِنْ تَائِبٍ There has to be a difference, right? There has to be a difference between istighfar and tawbah. What's the difference? Anybody know? Anybody want to give a shot? What's the difference between istighfar, Malik? Very good. You actually were mashallah, very, very beautiful. You spoke. Tawbah is more of the process. Istighfar is more of the actual asking. Because the ulama, they actually say tawbah, and by the way, if people are writing things down, I 100% recommend this. Tawbah has a few steps. Tawbah is a journey. Tawbah is not one singular action. Tawbah is a journey. Tawbah means that first and foremost, you're stopping the sin. You're not going to engage in the sin anymore. That's the first step of tawbah. The second step of tawbah is istighfar, is to